part of a Christ-like congregation who are selfless and forgiving when you can ask a lady in the service how big her shoes are and she tells you. If you weren't with us, you can ask somebody and they'll tell you what that's about, okay? But that's a sign of true humility, I guess. All right. Let's look at John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. We'll begin in verse 18. We're going to look this morning at, I will come to you. I will come to you. So as you make your way over there, down to verse 18, follow along with me. Jesus is talking to the 11 still. He will be for what we see as several chapters, okay? But he says to them, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Can you think of any words that are more reassuring than these that Jesus spoke here? I will come to you. I will come to you. I don't know, that just really got a hold of me. The assurance, the expectation, the confidence, all of those things that go into that. I want us to look this morning at the disciples' dilemma, first of all. Then I want us to look at the disciples' destiny, and then the disciples' dependent. Hang on to that one, okay? We'll have to spend a little bit of time with that when we get over there, but we're not there yet. Let's first of all consider the disciples' dilemma, okay? The disciples' dilemma. The disciples had been eyeball to eyeball with Jesus for 3 years. We don't know every day and every minute, but from what we read in Scripture, there was not much time when the disciples weren't right there. They had touched him. He had touched them. He had been the person that they had grown in confidence toward. He directed their lives for 3 years. They didn't do anything unless Jesus was involved in it. They were with him ongoingly. And the fellowship that they had shared, the deep and profound teachings that he had given them, the way that they, when they watched him, how he behaved around people, loving and kind. They observed all those tremendous miracles and the works. People raised from the dead, cripples who had been crippled for 30-some years, walking, blind people seeing, and on the miracles. They had observed that. Most important, though, they believed in him. They believed him. And they assumed that it's just going to get better from here. That was the plan. Wasn't this Messiah who was going to come to establish his kingdom? And they were right-hand men for him. He chose them. It's only going to get better from here on out. And so with all that they had experienced and this great hope that they had, Now, he comes and he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send another helper. A little while and the world will see me no more. They had to understand he's leaving. That wasn't part of the deal. I mean, these are guys, the 12, that he had just walked by them and said two words to them, most of them. We don't know all of them, but follow me. They got up and followed him. I couldn't help but walk in those shoes last week as I was. I don't think I would have done that. Here's a person that they didn't even know. And I mean, these guys had good jobs. They had a fishing business. Hey, Matthew, when he got up from behind that tax table, he left a great job. He was raking it in. And all of these other folks left their families, left their jobs. Two words, follow me. And they did. And now, he's telling them, I'm leaving. Not in that way, but that's what he's telling them. You know, can't you hear Peter say, what? I left my nets. I don't have any nets anymore. What am I supposed to do? And Matthew, fat chance I'm going to have getting that tax job back. I just walked away. I'm leaving. They don't know what he's talking about. I'm leaving and I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll send another helper. Now folks, if you walk in their shoes for a minute, think of that stress that Jesus is putting on their lives at this time. When he was leaving and how he was leaving, he doesn't even talk about. All he told them was, in a little while, I'm leaving. Now, I struggled with that this week and I thought, what would that be like? Try this, okay? Hypothetically speaking, all right? Let's say that in the morning you get up. And I don't know how you get your news, okay, whether you turn on a television or a radio or open a newspaper or pull up the computer screen. I don't know how you do it. But however you do it, okay? And there's a news alert, a news bulletin. And the news bulletin says, startling discovery made in Israel. It has been found and proved through sophisticated archaeological information that Jesus of Nazareth was not real. He was a myth. Evidence has concluded this fact of history. Jesus Christ never existed. Now, you might listen to the world, and most of the world will tell you that now. But folks, I've invested my life in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of God, who died on a cross for my sins, who was raised the third day, who today is seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm all in. Since I was 12 years old, I'm all in. That's been the basis, the foundation of everything that I believe, everything that I hope for, everything I plan for. Always in the context of Him. That gave me a little bit of an understanding what these guys were dealing with. When He said to them, I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus is going away. shortly, hours. That's the little while. In hours, he's going away. And I couldn't help but think that these disciples left in this dilemma that they're left in, you're going away, what's going to happen to us? But you know something? I couldn't help but think of you and I as disciples today. He's not telling us that he's going away. He's telling us that he's coming again. Now, their lives were shattered. That's our hope. And it occurred to me that as disciples, that because he is coming again, because he is who he said he is, it creates hope in us. But these guys did not have that. They had just the opposite. Despair. Fear, maybe. Uncertainty. Well, that's their dilemma. Let's look at their destiny now. Jesus said, I'm leaving. I will send you another helper. We looked at that last week. I will come to you. The world will see me no more, but you will see me. Now, that's confusing, just to say it mildly. In fact, Judas, not Iscariot, he's out betraying Jesus, selling him to the religious leaders. There were two Judases in the 12. The other Judas, not Iscariot, said, how is it that we, the followers, the 11, will see you but nobody else will? The same is true for you and me today as followers. You see, we're going to see him when he comes in the air for us, and the world will not. Fast forward to that, what I think is just maybe weeks away. You can't set the date, or I'm not doing that, okay? But folks, if this isn't the time, it's there. And that's not Wheeler's opinion, okay? People who study the Word and have done so faithfully, they're saying the same thing. The people are there. Russia today is in Syria. We have all of the players by name lined up in that strategic part of the world. When he comes in the air, we will see him. And we'll be caught up to be with him. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain like that, quicker than that, in fact. What's everybody else going to say? They don't know what happened. You see, we as followers will see him when he comes in the air, but the world will not see him. Well, what's Jesus talking about here? Yet a little while. First, I think Jesus is talking about the resurrection. Here in just a matter of days, matter of hours, he's going to die. He's going to be raised on the first day of the week from the grave. He's dead. He comes back to life. He's raised from the grave. And he is going to stay on the earth for about 40 days. He's going to walk around. The disciples are going to see him. The women, okay, the ones that came to the tomb and others, are going to see him. The rest of the disciples that existed at that time are going to see him. Maybe 120, we're told, over in the book of Acts. But did you know there is no record in Scripture that I could find where anyone else in the world saw him? No one else saw him. He just told the 11, he said, you will see me, but the world will not. You have to speculate to determine that somebody else besides the disciples saw him. I will come to you. You will see me. And they did. Now, some were a little bit troubled by it. Remember, Thomas said, I'm not believing this. I won't believe unless I can put my finger in the nail prints of his hand and thrust my hand into his side. And Jesus met him and said, go for it. and he believed. They saw him. He was with them. He ate with them there up north about 40 miles at the Sea of Galilee. And so when he said, you will not be orphans wandering around and trying to survive, that's not what he was talking about, though. Because he's still leaving. He left via the crucifixion. He died. He left this world. He was raised again. But he's leaving again. About 50 days from where we are right now, the second leaving, if you want to think of it like that, the ascension, out on the Mount of Olives, that garden out there across the Kidron Valley. He was out there with the disciples. They had been to Galilee, been with him 40 days. And he's out there on the Mount of Olives. He's already told them that the Helper is coming. He's already told them where to go. Go to Jerusalem and tarry in Jerusalem till you're endued with power. They didn't have a clue what that meant. And Jesus is out there on the Mount of Olives, and all of a sudden, he starts northward. He's going vertical, up into the clouds. And the disciples that were there, not sure who that was, certainly these 11, now what do? He is leaving. He is leaving. And they are so awestruck that the angels had to get their attention and said, what are you doing? This one that has left is coming again. And he's coming again right to the place that he left. But when he comes again and that foot, his foot, touches the Mount of Olives, it's going to split that mountain wide open. And he will come the second time when he touches earth. That's not when we're caught up to meet him in the air, but when he touches earth, okay, it's at the climax of a battle called the Battle of Armageddon, when the armies of the world are annihilating each other. He's coming again, but they saw him go. He'd said to them, you go and wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power. He's gone now. He left. They're not going to see him again. They're not going to see him again. And he has left. And he said, you're supposed to go to Jerusalem. He had told them that. And so they did. They went there. And in that day you will know. You will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The promise is unfolding here. And I've got to stop here just a minute, okay? Over there where we read through this morning, because I live, you also live. Did you read over that too fast? Do you see what that's saying? Because I live, and he does, you also shall live. That promise is for the you, the disciples. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple. Everybody else is going to die eternally. But you will live because I live. I don't know if Andy was humoring an old friend, an old coach, a fellow elder last week when we sang Because He Lives or not. You know, that's a Gaither song, okay? Yeah. I heard you singing. You sang it especially louder, okay? So did I. Folks, because he lives, I live. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. It's a big deal because he lives. It's the only hope that we have. It's all we've got. This place that we call home is not a home. It's gone. It's gone. At most in 70, 80 years or whatever. And some of us have spent most of that. If this is what it is, I want nothing to do with it. I've seen the elephant. He's not much. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness, right, Andy? Something like that, okay? That's all I've got to hope in. What are you hoping in today? You kids, you teenagers, you 20-somethings, 30 and 40-somethings, 70 and 80-somethings, what are you hoping in today? What do you got? You say, well, you seen my bank account lately. Well, you want to know something? That's nothing but vapor. One person in one place can make a decision Monday morning and you don't have squat in the bank. You say, well, you know, I'm pretty well put together here, you know. I'm pretty healthy. I'm pretty strong. You visit the doctor on Tuesday and he said, I'm sorry, but you have 6 months to live. We don't have anything that's not going to rust, rot, or be stolen. This is what we have because He lives. You too shall live. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Finally this morning, let's look at the disciples' dependent. Stay with me. You English folks, just kind of bow your head and pray, okay? All right? Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. God is moving in. That's what he's saying. God is moving in. When you, stay with me. When you file your taxes, here in a few months, I guess it is, isn't it? Okay. Whether you do it yourself, or you go to a tax preparer, or a CPA, or whomever, as I recall, there's some language that's on the form, or they ask you. And it goes something like this. How many are in your house? Right? That's kind of what it is. What they're asking is how many dependents do you have? How many people depend on you for their livelihood? Jesus tells us this morning that all those who love him and keep my word, better get ready, because God is moving in. That's what he's saying. Read it again with me. If anyone loves me, and he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Do you read something that I'm not reading here? God's moving in. But the difference between God living in us, making his home with us, and that tax concept of who is dependent on you, the difference is he moves in and we are dependent on him. Do you get that play on words? You see, the tax person wants to know who's dependent on you. But when he moves in, we then become dependent on him. There is doctrine here that you need to pay attention to. He makes his home with us. He is our life, our guide, our comfort, our hope, our helper. We're dependent on him. He makes his home with us. He's in charge of the house in which he lives. In fact, it's no longer our house, it's his temple. Paul's going to say later on, the Holy Spirit, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's God's house. When he moves in, he's in charge. He takes over. The scripture calls that lordship. Lordship. That means he's Lord. over his house, which used to be your house. It's his home. And he's in charge of everything that goes on. And when he moves in, he starts cleaning up. It's not in shape that he wants it in. He has to clean it up. And he starts. This will have to go. But I've had that all my... That this has to go. This will not stay. And you know what happens? The longer he lives there, the less and less it looks like you, and the more it looks like him. If that's not the case, he didn't move in. He knows nothing of moving into your house, and you give him a little room over here on the side and say, I'll send your breakfast, lunch, and dinner in to you. I've got other things to do. Don't bother me. Oh, no. When he moves in, he's in charge. And we are dependent on him. I had never seen this verse in Scripture before. I'd seen it, I'd read it, but it never got a hold of me like this. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The lights just started going on. The bells and whistles started sounding. God has to move in. And we often think of him out there in that great beyond. And he's right here. He's moved in. And he moves in as Lord of the house. It's his temple. If there is not lordship, there is not salvation. If when he moves in, and when he moves in, there is lordship, or he didn't move in, there is no salvation unless there is lordship. Do we understand? This is not salvation on the installment plan. This is, he is Lord of your life, which is now his life, for he is in you, and he said, we will make our home there. Did you notice the we there? Did you get the we? Did that bother you? The we is not us. We're not in the we. Okay? You know, if I say to you, we are going to, that means you and me. All right? But in this case, the we is not you and me. The we is he. The we is he. So, as he is saying, as God is speaking, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three yet one, the we is I is we, and we is he. Did you get that? Test on that next week. I don't understand that. But I don't have to. When he says, we will come to him and make our home with him. You explain the Trinity after the service, and I'll leave you standing where you are because I know you can't, okay? He's already told us last week about the Helper. Remember? Okay? The Helper, God, the Holy Spirit, is part of the three who are one. He's not leaving. Jesus, when he was here, 3 years, his ministry, and he left. He ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Father. When the Holy Spirit, the we, okay, when we come, we're not leaving. This is not an overnight guest situation. We are not leaving anymore. We are not leaving ever again. We are with you forever, he said when he talked about the Holy Spirit. He will be in you. We will be in you. Same thing. Get in your mind now, he in your life, it is his home, okay? He's in charge. He's the head of the house, however you want to say it, okay? If you are in Christ Jesus, that describes your life. You're no longer your own, you're bought with a price. He's in charge. Does that explain to you why some people don't like you? Does that help at all? Does that explain to you where those old friends you used to have, okay? They don't want to hang out with you anymore. In fact, they're coming up with excuses not to. They don't want to be around you. It's not because of you. It's because of he who is now in you. I was looking at some cattle the other day. We were walking out in the pasture, this guy and I. And all of a sudden, he lets go with a... That's an expletive that we don't pronounce here in church, okay? It's a cuss word. Pretty raunchy one, as I recall. And we're walking around, and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry." Why'd he do that? It wasn't because of John Wheeler. It was because of he who's in me. I didn't give him an invitation out there before that or anything like that. We didn't have a Bible study out there by the cow piles. We're just out there walking through the pasture and he, "Oh, I'm sorry." Is that what happens in your life when somebody wants to tell you a dirty story, cuss around you, invite you to go whatever? Folks, they don't dislike you. They just don't like he who lives in you. Because they know he who lives in you is the one that one day is going to say to them, "Unless they repent and believe, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Now, they haven't studied the Bible probably to know that, but they know it. There's that God-sized hole in all of our lives, and only God can fill it. So, those people that used to be your friends or those family members or whatever it is, it's not you, it's him. He's the one that they're rejecting. They even hate you. That's why they avoid you. That's why they think you're weird. If they don't, then they're not seeing him because he may not be there. I don't know. That's his call. But if he has moved in, you're different. You're different. Jesus said it like this: "They do not love me. They do not keep my words. They do not hear or understand the Father's word. It is foolishness to them." He said in another place, "Marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me first." In fact, if the world does not hate you, he's not in you. Do you see what he's talking about? Do you see what a finite set this thing of being a follower of Jesus is? Lord of all, or not Lord at all. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning to repeat the words we sang just a few moments ago. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you. And thank you, Lord, for moving in to make your abode with us, so that our house is your home and it's no longer our house. Father, you did that. You sent your only begotten Son to die for us, to die for our sins, so that would be possible. Because you are not going to move into a house that is full of sin. You're holy. But Father, you forgave us of all of those sins. You cleaned up this vessel. And we now, in your eyes, are just like you. We're holy. Not because we earned it or did something, but because you forgave us and you moved in. I thank you, Father, for that statement that Jesus made there. It so impacted my thinking. This is not a if, maybe, might. This is, he moves in or he doesn't move in. And you're making your home. You, God, three in one, one in three. Have a new temple for everyone who repents and believes. Father, I pray this morning that if there are those here who are still living in that old ramshackle shack they call theirs, Lord, that you would speak to their heart and call them, Father, to a temple that you will move in and share with them, that you will be their Lord, be your home. Father, I pray for those who are yet to believe. Open their eyes this morning. Let them see what you have in store for them, both now and for all eternity. In Jesus' name.